to Corinthians. And it might be some of the grown-ups have been on holiday as well. So you might have missed it as well. So just a recap to prove I was listening to Brian over the last 2 weeks. What we've learned so far in 2 Corinthians is this. Just because Paul and just because some Christian ministers today sometimes have a really hard time in life shouldn't stop us from trusting what they say if what they say is the true gospel. Be very easy for us, wouldn't it, to think, well, Paul had a hard time in his life, so God can't have been blessing him, therefore we shouldn't listen to him. But that would make no sense, would it? Because what happened to Jesus? He died on the cross, didn't he? He didn't have the greatest earthly life of everybody by any means, did he? So that's the first thing. Secondly, Paul was a faithful minister because he was faithful to the gospel. Same for ministers today. Are they faithful? How can you tell? Well, are they teaching the same thing that Paul taught and the rest of the Bible says? So those two things are broadly the two things that we've learned so far in 2 Corinthians. But here is the big question that the Corinthians were left with and we're left with at this point in the letter. Here it is. Why doesn't everyone believe the gospel when they hear it? If it's preached by real Christian ministers and it's the true message, why don't people believe it every time they hear it? It's a good question, isn't it? It's a good question. Is it because the message itself is a bit rubbish? Or is it because the messengers, the apostles and Christian ministers today, are just pretty rubbish at their job? Don't answer that one. But they're good questions, aren't they? They're really good questions. And we're going to get to the bottom of, well, towards the bottom of answering those today. So, we're going to do it in three sections. The first section deals with the message, and the second two sections deal with the messengers. So the message and the messengers. And to help us get our minds in the right place to think about the message itself and why not everybody believes it all the time, I'm going to ask us to just turn in twos and threes and talk about what is your favourite smell and what is your worst smell. Then I'm going to come and ask a few people. So go. There is a slide for this. It will come up in a minute. Okay, 30 more seconds. I'm going to come and ask a few people what their favourite smells and worst smells are. So, let's start at the back, shall we? We've got the naughty boys and girls on the back row here. What's your favourite smell? Lavender. Lavender. What's somebody's worst smell? Sue, what's your worst smell? Is it Chris's feet?
No, they're not too bad. Rotten eggs.
Rotten eggs. Chris's aftershave. Right, so over in this corner, what is somebody's favourite smell?
Vanilla.
Vanilla. Ooh, I like vanilla. What's somebody's worst smell? Anybody got a worst smell?
Sewage.
Sewage. Okay, what about this corner here? Favourite smell? Bread. Cooking bread. Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? And worst smell? Somebody's worst smell? Rotten eggs, yes, yes. Okay, now over in this little section here, what's your favourite smell? Violets. Okay, and worst smell?
Slurry.
Len, what's your favourite smell?
Frying bacon.
Frying bacon. Oh, that's enough to stop anybody being a vegan. And what's your worst smell?
Dead rat that was in our old air raid shelter in the first house they bought.
A dead rat in an old air raid shelter in the first house they bought. Goodness me, that's really lodged in your mind, hasn't it? Okay, this bit here. Favourite smell, somebody?
Rotten fish. Smell of a rose.
Smell of a rose?
Rotting fish.
Is your favourite? Worst. Rotting fish is your worst smell. Yes, that is pretty bad, isn't it? And let's do the front together. Somebody's favourite smell?
Steak.
Ooh, now you're talking. Chocolate. Worst smell?
Boy laundry.
Boy laundry. Nice.
The dead mouse that kept hidden where you can't find it.
The dead mouse hidden where you can't find it. Okay. Favourite smell? Somebody? A strawberry-flavoured shower gel. That's very specific. And that doesn't surprise me, though. Worst smell? Egg. Cooking egg. That smell of egg sandwiches when you open the sandwich box and it's egg sandwiches and they go, oh!
No.
And anybody over that far side? Anybody over that far side? Favourite smell?
Sandalwood.
And far side, worst smell, anybody? A recently finished whiskey cask. Somebody at St. Luke said whiskey as well. I agreed. Worst smell, anyone?
We all agreed barbecued meats for the best and vomits
for the worst. Now, I'm really surprised that nobody said bio-wise up by Toby Carvery is the worst smell. Now, all of us have got different favourite and different worst smells, haven't we? Now, I need some volunteers here. So can I have some volunteers, please? Benjamin? Lauren? Okay. And do we have an adult volunteer maybe as well?
Will, yeah,
come up here.
Right. Do you mean father dear? I've got some smells here. And I want you to smell these things and tell me whether you think it's a nice smell or a horrible smell. Okay, first of all, I've got some lemon.
Horrible.
Horrible.
That smells like it's been in a food bin.
Love it.
Love it.
A bit of Pepsi. A bit of rum on there.
So some love it, some hate it. Gosh, this is going well already. Right, I've got something else here. I've got the smell of. No, it's nobody. No, it's not. An orange. That's good. That's all right. So most people like that. One, not sure. Okay, now. Ah ha 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 ha. Here we go. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Careful.
Yeah.
You're getting gooey stuff everywhere there, Kat.
Am I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Want me to lick it?
Nice. I have Marmite before.
So some people, ooh, I like that. Okay, here we go. One more. No. Oh, yes, I love this one. I love this one. It's not the best, but here we go. You like onion?
Okay, I'm going to close my eyes. I don't want
Benjamin doesn't like it. It's all right. Yeah. So some people love it, some people hate it. Now, you can't see this very well. That is freshly squeezed garlic. Now, Lauren, what do you make of this?
It smells nice.
It smells nice.
It smells like garlic bread.
It smells like garlic bread? Mm-hmm. Nice. Ooh, nice. I think it smells revolting like that. And the last one. Air freshener. Yeah. No, not even going to smell it.
Bit strong.
Yeah, I might try it. And Thomas likes it.
Yeah, that smells like some kind of spray from a shop.
Smells like spray from a shop. It is. It's probably made of the same stuff. There we go. Thank you very much, everyone. Let's give them a round of applause. Now, some people liked that smell. Other people hated those smells. And some smells were split right down the middle, weren't they? People liked it, and people didn't like the same smell. Now, Paul uses an example of smells. Did you know that smelly things are in the Bible? Paul uses an example of smells in his Bible passage that we're reading today. And he's using those smells to say this: don't judge the gospel message by the reaction it gets. Don't judge the gospel message by the reaction it gets. And let's have a look at the Bible together. So keep your Bible open and have a look with me at chapter 2, verse 14. And there's a slide for this. The Bible says this: but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma, spread the smell of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma, the nice smell of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. So God likes the smell of Paul and the apostles and Christians who follow him. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death, a stinky smell. To the other, an aroma that brings life, a nice smell. So the one are people who aren't Christians and don't want to be Christians and are walking away from God. They look at Christians and they think, they're like a horrible smell. And to those who are interested in following Jesus and are thinking, those Christians, they're onto something, aren't they? They look at Christians and they think, ooh, that's like a nice smell. Let's go and investigate a bit more. But what Paul's talking about here is like a procession. Think of a Roman emperor who's been out to battle and he's won the battle and he's just got a whole load of soldiers behind him, the best soldiers possible just behind him in this procession. And right at the very end of the procession, all the way back at the end, are captives from the country he's just defeated. Now, some of them will be in a not very good state of health, shall we say. And others are being dragged along. And to those people who have been defeated in that country that the emperor has just won a battle in, that procession is like a horrible smell. But to the Romans, that's like a great smell. And Paul's saying that he and all Christians who come after him are like people who have been captured by God. And to those who God is drawing in, they're a great smell. A brilliant smell. But to those who don't want to follow God, anybody who is doing that, anybody who's following God, is like a horrible smell. Why would you do that? It's like being dead to follow God, isn't it? Why would you give up all this good life, they say, and follow God when it's just like a stinky smell? So we should expect, shouldn't we, that sometimes when we tell people about Jesus, when we tell our friends about Jesus, that there's going to be a split. Some people are going to say, ooh, that's good. Others are going to say, yuck, I don't want anything to do with that. And that's when we tell them the truth about Jesus. The fact that some people don't believe isn't anything to do with the message being rubbish. It's to do with people not wanting the message and not liking it and not wanting to follow Jesus. So don't judge the gospel message by the reaction it gets. But what about the messenger then? What about the messenger? First of all, don't look for a popular minister. Don't look for a popular minister. And we're at the beginning of chapter 3 here. Paul writes this, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Who's bought something on the internet recently? Lots of us have bought something online. And how did you find out whether it was any good? Anybody look for reviews? Fee didn't. Lots of us look for reviews, don't we? We look for 5-star reviews for things online because we want a recommendation. We want a letter of recommendation to know that when we splash out on, I don't know, what might we buy online? A new game, or we might be buying a new vacuum cleaner or something boring like that. We want to know whether it's any good, don't we? So we look for recommendations. We want other people to say that that thing's good and that lots of people are buying it, so it must be great. Paul says, don't do that with Christian ministers. Don't look for popular ones who everybody's saying, they're great, aren't they? We're going to follow them. You see, the Corinthians themselves are Paul's recommendation. Why? Because they became believers when Paul shared the gospel with them. They became believers when Paul shared the gospel with them. So the fact that they exist is a letter of recommendation, enough recommendation, enough of a review to prove that he is a real minister of the gospel. So were there people staying Christian in the Corinthian church? Well, there were. There were people who were remaining Christians, hooked on the message, the true message of the gospel that Paul had shared with them. So is the minister rubbish if people aren't becoming Christians? Well, no, look at the church where the minister has shared the gospel. Are there real Christians there? Is the messenger rubbish? Don't look for a popular messenger. Don't look for a skillful preacher. Don't look for a skillful preacher. This is our second point on ministers. Is the minister rubbish? And there's a slide for this one. Don't look for a skillful preacher. What might we look for? We might look for a preacher who's an entertainer. We love entertainment, don't we? We already mentioned BGT once today. We love sitting down and watching BGT as a family. Joshua is absolutely, totally into it. Liz loves it too. I hate it, honest. No, I love it too. And why do we love things like that? We love variety and we love entertainment, don't we? Because it's fun. It's great. And there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But there's not much to it, is there? It just disappears off the TV and it doesn't mean anything really. But we could look for entertainment in a Christian minister, couldn't we? Somebody who's really skillful, competent, if you like, at being an entertainer. We could look for somebody who's got TV presenting skills. And we all know from recent headlines, don't we, that even the best TV presenters sometimes, once you dig down a bit, aren't quite who they might seem they are. We might look for a social media influencer. What do? They try and influence you to buy things, and they're paid by companies to get you to buy into what that company makes. Or they get you to buy into an idea. They want you to think the same as them. It'd be very easy, wouldn't it, to look for a Christian minister who's very good at making you buy into a certain type of church or a certain sort of thing in church. It'd be very easy, wouldn't it, to want somebody who's an influencer, who plays games with your mind and makes you want to follow them and not Jesus. Or what about a persuasive politician, somebody who wants votes? Be very easy to look for a minister who wants votes. Now, Paul didn't do that, did he? Paul just preached the straight gospel. And if people didn't like it, fine. That's on them. He wasn't going to change it. Politicians keep doing U-turns, don't they? Paul didn't do a U-turn. Don't look for Christian ministers who are going to do a U-turn in order to get your vote. That would be no good, would it? Chapter 2, verse 4. Here we go, up on the screen, chapter 2, verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything about ourselves. We're not entertainers. We're not TV presenters. We're not social media influencers or politicians. But our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Don't look for a skillful preacher. Instead, is there gospel fruit in the church? Are people living more for Jesus? Are people growing as Christians? So are our children getting to know Jesus better and follow him for themselves? Are grown-ups following Jesus more and more for themselves? Are some hearing the gospel able to explain it, but then walking away? All of that is fruit of the gospel, isn't it? Don't look for skillful ministers in the sense of the world saying that they're skillful, but look for fruit of the gospel in the church. So don't judge the message by the reaction it gets. Don't look for a popular minister. Don't look for a skillful preacher. Instead, is the message the same as Paul's true message? Are there real Christians in the church? Is there gospel fruit in the church? So think about our church here at St. Andrew's. Is the message the same as Paul's true message? Are we opening up the Bible and saying, this is what the Bible says. This is what we believe. This is what we're holding to. Are there real Christians in the church? People who are really following Jesus? And is there gospel fruit in the church? And I think there is, isn't there? Praise God for his kindness in all of that. What about playing your part? It's all right to talk about the minister all the time, isn't it? And Paul is talking about the minister in 2 Corinthians quite a lot, because it was him who was under the microscope from the Corinthians. But what about all of us? When you're asked about what you believe at school or at work or with family and friends, how can you tell whether what you're doing is the right thing? Is it by everybody suddenly believing and saying, yes, you've got it right? Well, it's not, is it? Because what you believe is the smell of life to others and the smell of death to yet more. But is the message that you're saying, even just in a few words, is it the same message that Paul gave, that Jesus came, that he lived, he died, he rose again, and he died for our sins on the cross? And that by believing in him, we can have eternal life too. Is that what the message you're telling people is? If it is, praise God. Expect some people, lots of people, not to believe it. And don't think you have to be brilliant. You don't. Just be faithful. Just say what it is you believe about Jesus because it's in the Bible. That's all you need to do. Don't try to be clever. Don't try to be entertaining. Don't try to be any of that. Follow Jesus. Talk about him. What you say will be the lovely smell of life to some, but the disgusting aroma of death to others. But God will bring to new life those he is saving. And praise God he's doing that here. Let me pray for us. Dear God, thank you for this little bit of 2 Corinthians. Please help us to set our expectations right, to know that the true gospel is the smell of life to some and the stench of death to others. And please help us to be faithful to that message, both at the front of church and in our formal ministry here, but also in our own lives as we share the message of the gospel with others. Please keep us faithful to the true gospel, whatever the reaction is from other people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.